Good morning. We're going to speak this morning on the God nature is the good nature, and how the old nature has to go and God's new nature needs to stay and rule. And I wrote something a while ago in a blog on this, and I've taught on this over time frames, but it's very important for us to understand about our nature. When we say to give over, good people say, you know, I love the Lord and I'm good. And I try, and it's really true. There are some people that are more honest than some of the Christians we know. You know what I'm saying? There's some people more hardworking than some of the Christians we know. Being a Christian isn't the perfection. Christ is perfect. The more you give yourself over to Him, the more of His perfection is going to come through. It's not going to be you. But there just needs to be a good understanding in terms of that about our nature. The nature we were born with is not the nature God created. And that's where a lot of people have made their error. I hear a lot of people, like on television, some of the Hollywood people who maybe don't have it, you know, straight with God, and, oh, there is no God, and all this is foolishness, and religion is the opiate of the people, and all that. They've so misunderstood God. They say, well, what kind of a God is this? He made tornadoes, and people die, and you get bit by snakes and eaten by lions, and like that precious jogger that was bit by pit bulls, bit to death, but torn to pieces by a pack of pit bulls while she was out jogging. There's people that are raped. There's babies that die. And they go, oh, what a horrible God you have then if all this is going on. Well, God didn't make that this way. And the powerful deception from Satan is that when pure, unadulterated evil occurs on this planet, people turn and actually shake their fist at God. What a deception. Old Satan is doing all this garbage through a broken nature in mankind, and who gets to blame? God. No, God is the remedy. God is the way out from that it would not happen to you. That you would not be the perpetrator of these things. Now, will evil happen to you? Yes. Will assault sometimes happen? Will things be stolen from your home? Will your car be stolen? Will you break a leg or sprain an ankle, as it is we have in the back of the church? Sitting there relaxing with your little foot there? Yes. Bad things happen to good people. The point is that as God's people, you will not be doing the bad things. But don't expect to be free here from things happening. So there's a huge difference. It's like a chasm of misunderstanding. And this morning, I hope our takeaway is going to be that the God nature is the one that can do the God things. Your nature can only go so far. You're only going to love until someone ticks you off. You're only going to be honest until it costs you a little money. You're only going to be generous until it costs you a little money. So many of these things in the natural nature mimic the nature of God, but they are not clean. They are not pure. The motives are often wrong or unjust or dirty. So even though a good act looks like something good, the motive behind that act may be truly selfish, truly born in pride or in some overt or covert problem. You see, God sees all of that. He knows what's clean. And He knows what's broken and dirty. So our nature, it gives us a warped view. There's so many people that curse God because they're looking at it through their broken thinker. What Adam did was monumental to human nature. God said, if you disobey me, death will enter in. He wasn't talking about just croaking. He was talking about the death of the perfection and purity of the nature that was given by God. Then it would switch over to something that was dead. It had no life in it. You were born with a nature that doesn't have life in it. It has death in it. No one is righteous. No, not one. Not because God made an error, but because Adam disobeyed. But God knew it would occur. He let it occur because He had to give us that free will. And free will had to be there because He can't be a just God without a free will situation. You can't be forced to be one way or the other. There's no justice in what happens to you. What kind of justice would there be that you get no judgment because you were forced to do something against your own will? Well, I don't want to obey you, but God makes you do it. No, there's no justice. How can you be in the kingdom of God with Him forever with an unjust situation like that. No, we're not robots. The only way you can show God you love him is to obey him. And yet we're born with this handicapped nature that doesn't obey God. So it would look to the natural nature as if we're doomed, but we're not. Because even though my Adam nature cannot meet the measure of God that I read in the scriptures and that I hear from him in terms of his confirmation of things in all of life going on here, I don't only have that nature. If I only had that nature, I truly would be doomed. There is no righteousness in the Adam nature, in the sin nature that I was born with. But that day, a glorious day, that I came to know the Lord, he was calling me. I was not looking for him. He was calling me, but he did see in me a willing heart. A lot of rough edges, but a willing heart. And that day that I said, although I didn't say some churchy thing. I wasn't in church. I hadn't been reading the Bible. God just hit me like a bomb went off in my heart. I just cried out, saying, God, I want to know you and love you like I see others. That's all I said. He took it from there. From that moment on, everything changed. I received his nature. I asked him to forgive me. I asked Jesus Christ inside. I then received a new nature. My whole life changed. There were some things that I didn't even feel like doing anymore. It just wasn't even in my head anymore. And that's because the new nature of God was in there. There's other things that were strong-willed things, part of my Adam nature, that had ruled me for so long. It was a battle to put them down and put them away. And even though some areas of my life I don't even think about doing sin, it's not even there. There's other areas that kind of creep up now and again, but all they do is creep up. And I just bat them down and go, no, fool, you are not taking over that territory again. I reject you. I resist you. I resist that thought. I resist that feeling. I resist that desire. And I'm not left blank. Because when I push that out of the way, the smooth flow of that perfect nature of God is then allowed to come through. So, wow, yeah, the God nature is the good nature. But in our stubbornness, in our rebellion, in our pride, that we often don't know we even have, we say, well, I'm good enough. I don't need this God thing. I'm good. I give to the poor. I do Meals on Wheels. I work for Habitat for Humanity. You know, I'm helping everybody. You love your kids. I love my neighbor. I'm ready. No, you're not. It's not your good works that get you to heaven. It's whether you're clean before God and you can't clean yourself. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for you. You have to come under. It's like you got to register in his race. I run races. I run marathons, half marathons. Haven't done anything since last year, but I do. I've got a long history of doing that. You got to register for that race. In order to cross that finish line, you have to register for that race. You have to register with God. And it's not signing up at a church. Becoming a member of a church does not make you a member of God's family automatically. You got to do that personally and individually with God yourself. There's some point in your life that you have to say, Lord, you're right, I'm not. Forgive me of my sins, the ones I know I did, the ones I don't even know I did. Come into my life. Give me the help I need. I admit I am a sinner. I admit I'm wrong. Whatever wording comes to your heart, go to that living God. Get his nature inside. Else you are doomed. Oh, you might be rich here. You might be healthy here. Everything work out perfectly for you. Like I say many times when I speak to the youth, you've all heard of the Ten Commandments. If you don't like the first four that talk about God, at least do the last six. The whole world will change. And then I pause a moment and I say, and then you'll die and go to hell because you didn't do the first four. This isn't a joke. This is real. You need to search for the truth. A whole bunch of people believe there is a God. A whole bunch of people believe there isn't a God. So it's not your belief system. It's not your church system. It's not your religion that's the primary thing to get you connected with this great God. It's relationship with this great God. And you can't get into him for his presence unclean. Nothing unclean can be in the presence of God. Now, he has mercy on you. He loves you when you don't love him. He says, I don't want anyone to perish. And what we do is we tend to come up with this broken Adam nature idea of who God is. Oh, there's many gods. Oh, there's no God. Oh, there's one God, but there's no Jesus. Oh, there's only Jesus. Oh, there's Muhammad. Oh, we come up with all sorts of ideas. And one of the most foolish ones is that all roads lead to heaven. You gotta be kidding me. That's like saying all roads lead to Chicago or something. No! This is or, yeah, what a crummy place to pick, huh? You know. All roads lead to Hawaii. There you go. Well, folks, there isn't even a road that leads to Hawaii. You gotta get there by boat. You know what I'm saying? So, it's so foolish. God has said, it's a narrow way. The broad way. All those roads. All this stuff out there. The broad road leads to destruction. The narrow way leads to life. And only God knows exactly what he's doing, what he means, what he wants. But he's a good God. He's a just God. You don't have to worry. See, all this, this warped view of ours, it interferes with what we think prayer is. It interferes with what we think worship is. It interferes with what we think marriage relationships are. It interferes with what we think justice and judgment is. We tend to use the broken to fix the broken. Well, I don't know about you, but in math, broken plus broken equals broken. It's only when you get God in this mix, when he is in that equation, are you going to have a different answer. So that's my desire for us today, to understand this is a good God and a wonderful God, but we're born with a broken nature that he did not make. It came from our error, man's error. Adam, the first one, and then we all received the broken nature, and then us from then on, using that broken nature to build our businesses, our relationships. We're in a mess today. It's the morality, stupid, not just the economy. If there wasn't the bribery, lies, and corruption all over the place, we would not be having the problems we have. We are a rich and glorious country with ample money, but it's being siphoned off all over the place. Excuse me. Crony capitalism. Could you give me some water? Crony capitalism all over, fraud and corruption. We're even seeing some of those things come out in the news now, lying left and right, covering the bases, doing what you want to, controlling the people, all sorts of misuse of authority and power. It truly is from the broken nature, not from the God nature. God does talk about sharing with people. He wasn't a communist. He wasn't a socialist. People say, oh, he would be. No, you see, because he did say to help your neighbor. He did say to give to the poor. He did say those things. But he also said something that some of these liberal-minded people, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, it could be any side of the political aisle you're on, this liberal, progressive, secular, progressive, humanist ideas that are out there, they're with the broken mind. So they only talk about helping the poor and giving to the poor and doing that. They never talk about the other things that God said. God said, if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. God also said, you don't work, you don't eat. He was making a point. You don't lay down and let someone else provide for you. You get up, you work hard, you provide, you be part of the act of work in building a family, a community, a state, in a nation. It's so warped. You see, the broken nature says no. The broken nature says take from the rich and give to the poor. That's broken nature thinking. Many people are rich today, many people are rich today not because they got it illegally or improperly, but because they worked hard. The man who works 80 hours a week is going to make a lot more money than the guy who works 40 or 10. So you see, the broken nature says take from the rich and give to the poor. Whereas God says, no, I want you all rich. I want you all functioning. I want you all abundant. And those that are disabled, those that are unable, not unwilling, those that are unable to do things like work, yeah, then you turn around and provide for them. Yes, that's the God way. So you see, this warped view, we don't see things like God sees things. We are so mistaken on our approach to everything, even in how to help humanity. We argue about who's right and what is right. How stupid. We're arguing down here whether, I don't care whether it's Christian or people in denominations in Christianity or whether it's other religions or atheists or agnostics. Everyone's arguing on who is right and what is right. God's up there going, you're all wrong. There's only one that's right and righteous, and that's the Lord. Get his nature inside of you. Ask that nature to rule you. Everybody wants a savior in there. No one wants a master to tell them what to do. And you've heard me say that many, many times, but it's true. God knows exactly what he's doing. We don't. We have used the broken nature to determine what's right and what's wrong. Man changes his mind on what's right and wrong, but God is stable. And on this next slide, this is something that really touched my heart. When I look at, I grew up in an educational system back in the 50s and 60s. I also was in college in the 70s and back in the 2005s and 10s. And you know, you're in school a lot in your life sometimes. But when I was growing up, the mores were a little different. They were a little closer to the Christian foundation of this nation. Some people weren't Christian, but the mores, the laws, the outlook, the viewpoint was more leaning toward the Christian set of standards as set by God. And in my lifetime, there were laws against abortion, against homosexuality, meaning the sodomy laws, against pornography. There were laws against them. And there were laws for prayer in public school and Bible reading in public school. And now I have lived long enough that now, personally to my chagrin, but now, today there's laws against prayer in public school and Bible in public school, and laws for abortion, homosexuality, and pornography. I said, whoa, wait a minute, that's turned totally wrong. Were all the hundreds of thousands of people back in my day, were they just stupid, ignorant yahoos? No. These were people who were the presidents of the United States who were agreeing with this. Congressmen who were agreeing with the laws of God and proclaiming it even at the Capitol of both the states and federally for our nation. These were intelligent scientists and engineers and people who own companies and corporations and rich people. They were all on board with it, with those laws, that it was okay to have prayer in school and Bible in school. There's nothing wrong with people who aren't Christian living in our country. But why do we have to give up our Christian heritage just because they're here? It makes no sense. When you go to France, you're going to ask them to give up French or wine? When you go something just to accommodate you? Are you going to go to a mosque and land and say, hey, listen, get the mosques out of the way? Or I want to build a church. They're not going to change for your comfort or tolerance. Now, some places will allow you to be there, but this is, they've defined it. This is our culture. If you want it, fine. If you don't, go. Whatever happened to that? People used to come to this country to assimilate. They wanted to be part of this great American dream. The formula that I see happening now is a setup for a civil war. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. Pockets of people determine this is what I want for my laws, for my directions. Wait a minute. Our founding fathers didn't want that. They said that they wanted a United States of America. They saw what happened all over Europe and other countries. Because every single country was different, had a different ruler, a different set of laws, a different military, a different language, a different religion, a different everything. As soon as you cross the border, these were warring factions all the time. There was always war. I want you to do what I do. I want more land. Always fighting, always war. They said, we don't want that. We want the United States of America. When you come here, we have a standard set of laws. This is how we live. This is what you can do. And we have basic rights that you can have. This stuff was not set up by the Adam nature. If you go back and look at what they went through and what they talked about and how they proclaimed God in their meetings and how they called upon, they didn't just have this some vague God out there. They actually signed their letters talking about in the name of the most holy Redeemer. Wow. So our country was set up not by the Adam nature, but by the God nature. That old devil hated it, and he's been working since way back then to get to the point that we now have laws against prayer in Bible reading in school and laws for abortion, homosexuality, and pornography. Now, I only put those three down there. I mean, I'm not picking anything out. I'm not defining it. So, you know, I don't want people showing up out here and, oh, you're against this and that. No, I've showed a few things that are how our laws change. I'm just making a comparative analysis here. I'm not picking on anyone or doing anything. God has set a standard, and I am not going to change that standard because it was born in huge wisdom. I'm not going to go over each and every one of these. Why? God's not some providential prude. He truly knows a better way. Every single thing he gives us to live, every rule, if you want to call it, I call it a direction, but every rule you want to say that God ever gave. I'm talking about the New Testament. I'm not talking about the Old Testament, because that was without the Spirit of God indwelling the people. That was without the God nature in the people. I'm not talking about that. That was a different set of circumstances. There was no salvation. Listen to this. There was no salvation in the Old Testament. But there was a holding back of the wrath of God upon the people when they obeyed him. Salvation came in Jesus Christ. That's New Testament onward. So it's so powerful. I'm not picking out certain sins. There's a way God said to live. And that way is wise. There's no wisdom in a 14-year-old fathering a child. There is no wisdom in lying and stealing and cheating. All of these things, they cause harm and hurt and devastation to family, community, state, and nation, and world. So God's not giving us some rules so we can't have fun. He's saying, I know the Adam nature. I know its brokenness. And it's not going to bring you good. It's going to bring you bad. What's happening in the world? He says, what are you shaking your fist at me for? I told you these things would happen. The wars, the death, the destruction, the divorce, the incest. You don't even get out of the book of Genesis. And you got all this junk. This ain't just something happened in 2013. This has been going on a long time. The problem is now, before, it used to be on the edges of our society in the United States. I'm not only talking about this right now. All this stuff was here always, but it was always on the edges. Now it's right in the center of our society as, okay, you can do whatever you think is right and whatever you think is wrong. Good grief. We are actually, that's like, people like football or basketball games. You want your football game. And I've shared this before, so I hope you're not bored. God's leading this, I gotta go with it, you know, whatever, some of you may, but repetition's good. There's a foul line in a football game. Can you imagine if every football player went out there and said, well, what I think is right is right, what I think is wrong is wrong. And they step over that foul line. Somebody blows the whistle, go, oh, you're the foul line. You go, nope, not to me, my foul line's over there. And then you go kick the ball, it goes to the left of the upright. So you go, touchdown! The guy goes, no, you gotta go in between. No, not to me! It's anywhere in that area, makes a touchdown. What would happen to that game of football in just a few moments? It would be chaos on the field. That's exactly what's happening in our world today. And especially in our country, because we did have a playbook, it's called the Bible. We did have those directions and what was needed. And yet we are asking our children today to play the most important game, the game of life, without a playbook, without guidelines, without foul lines. Whoa, what are we thinking? So I'm not picking out one or two things. God has said from the beginning that these things are wrong. And they're wrong because they don't ever lead to right. They might feel good in the moment. They might satisfy your desires in the moment. They might seem to be what's the best remedy for a very difficult situation in the moment. But you look at everyone who goes through these things. They don't have what they're looking for. They constantly are empty. They constantly are hurt. They constantly, the very things they hate, keep happening to them. Drugs and alcohol have been in our society and all over this world forever. Over in Vietnam, when I was over there, the old ladies just chew this beechy nut stuff. Turned their teeth totally black. But it was like, it was an opiate. Kind of made them have a little sense of feel good. Well, no kidding. You wake up in that country and there's excrement all over the sides of the things, the monsoon rains wash that and the chicken poop and everything into your little hut you got. Your babies are dying of dysentery and cholera right in front of you. You know, there's no hope for you. Your lifespan's like 35 years old. Everything is dirt, everything is destruction, starvation all over the place. Good grief. No wonder they're chewing beechy nut. All it did, I mean, you think of it, is make that lady feel good in a very bad place. And that's the joke that old devil pulled out of the pit of hell. Drugs and alcohol just make you feel good in a very bad place. And when you sober up from any of that, you see that bad place is still bad. So what do? You go right back into the fantasy world of the anesthesia of drugs and alcohol. Oh my, what our great God. Now I say, what the heck just happened? If all the stuff that used to be have laws for it and then laws against it. Now it's turned around. All the things that used to have laws for it now have laws against it. And all the things that used to have laws against it now have laws for it. What happened? Something's either right or it's not. You see, we're so unstable, our rightness even changed. I grew up was you don't lie. And if you did lie, and every one of us knew when we did. Did you do that? Not me. I grew up in a family of nine. We had a whole bunch of not me's lived there. Did you do that? Not me. Not me. Who did it? Not me. Not me. Not me. Not me. And so somebody was lying. So you didn't lie. Most of us could say you've lied at some point in your life, so you know what a lie is. So back then, our standard was don't lie. And if you do lie, you have a consequence for it. But now we have people say, well, a white lie's okay. Just a little bit's okay. We're not telling our kids to be sexually pure. We're not telling them that. What we're telling them through the public school system, through the books and the movies and the magazines, we're not telling them to be sexually pure until they're getting ready to get married into a stable situation. We're telling them, be safe when you do have sex. That's what we're telling them. We're not telling them to hold off from sex. And we're not telling, listen, whenever I tell someone, listen, it's better to hold off from sex until you're married, stability, commitment, going on in life. I'm not telling them that because I'm a prude either. I'm not telling them that because sex is bad. I'm telling them that because there is no wisdom in having the spread of these diseases sexually. There's no wisdom in these unwanted pregnancies. Certain segments of our society, 70% of the births into that particular ethnic group is unwed mothers. There is no father. There is no money. There is no home. There are no clothes. There is no food. There's no support. Never mind any kind of spiritual action here. That's why God is telling us these things. What our society is telling our young ones, totally the opposite. So you're going to have to be even stronger, even louder, not stricter and coarser, wiser in the things of God. So something's either right or not. And what we talked about is the truth. Knowing the truth. That's why God says the truth will set you free. You won't have to worry. Is this right or wrong? Did it change or not? Is it backwards or forwards? Am I progressive or behind? None of that will come in. It's the truth, not belief systems. You can believe something with all your heart. It doesn't make it true. They believed with all their heart the world was flat. It didn't make it true. So your quest needs to be the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't even know that, just say, okay, whatever. If there's nothing out there, I need to know that. If there's something out there, I need to know that. But I really am seeking truth. And guess what God said? All right on. You seek God, you find God. And when you find God in 2013, because it's after Jesus died, when you find God, you're going to find Jesus too. The real God, now I mean. The true God. You're going to find Jesus. And not as some religious ideation, but relationship with God. Now, in terms of the Lord, see, he's stable. All that stuff I just shared with you, we're so unstable, back and forth, back and forth. Look at people who were married. Talk about relationships. Has anyone who's been married longer than, anyone been married longer than 10 years in here? Anyone been married longer than 20 years in here? And, we got some long, wonderful marriages. Anyone been longer than 25 years? Okay, almost coming there. 30 years. 35 years. You see, look at this. Isn't this glorious? In many places, even in our wonderful churches, people haven't been. We're not stable. Even in a common thing such as a marriage, that's very changeable because there's two Adam natures in there. Now, if there's two Adam natures and two God natures, there's hope. If there's only two Adam natures, there's no hope. Now, if there's two Adam natures and one God nature in there, well, it's a little bit better. It's perking up. It's working on it. But and the only reason I give you that as an example, you in here who are married, you know the changeability of each day. You know how the moods change. I love you today. I don't love you. You know, I loved you yesterday. I don't love you today. Tomorrow's not looking so good. You know what I mean? This kind of thing. We are unstable in the Adam nature. God's nature coming through you, that's the clue and the key for successful marriage. The God nature coming through you, that's the successful parent. The God nature coming through you, that's the successful business. Because the God nature will never cheat. The God nature will never lie. The God nature will never have corruption. The God nature will never lead you to sin. I'm going, oh, this sounds so perfect. Like, hello, it is. If you walk by the Spirit, you cannot walk by the flesh. So our struggle is just what Jesus said. I'm giving you the word picture, he said. I'm going to go to the cross to the death of my flesh. And I want you to do that daily. Die daily. Crucify the flesh. He's not talking about beating your back with a whip. He's not talking about hitting the forehead with a sword until it bleeds. He's not talking about brown rice, living on bread and water. He's not talking about any of that. When he says crucify the flesh, in the moment that something comes up that's not of me, you just resist it, reject it, fight it, and move on. Because then my nature is going to come out of you. But God's nature cannot come out of anyone unless it's in. And it can't get in because he won't put it by force. It has to be by you asking him, please, God, come into my life. I exercise that free will. I defer to you. Help me and save me. And don't beat yourself up when you don't do it right. It takes a long time to let the God nature rule more. And I'm going to have to say it that way, more than the Adam nature. I don't know. I often joked, I said I probably have to be like 4,000 years old before I kind of had the God nature ruling 24 hours a day. You know, we're all up to good 15, 20 minutes in a row here, you know. It's not a joke, I'm just saying. This Adam nature is strong, you got to work against it to let the God nature come out. But God, he is unchanging. His principles are unchanging. His wisdom is unchanging. The circumstances and epochs change, as we see historically, but not the principles of God. How God worship people worship God was determined by God. How they learned about God was given by God in every epoch, whether it was the patriarchs or the kings or the law of Moses or whatever, all of it. And then there came Jesus. This was a timed event by God. So powerful. Jesus didn't happen. He wasn't just another prophet. Christianity isn't just another religion. This is a timed event of God to save and rescue his people. The way has been made. Walk in it. So be a part of that stability by having the God nature rule. It's truly up to you. Now in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 7, those of you who have your scriptures, give you a half second there to turn to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, and we're going to wrap up with this, for this is the will of God. Wait, does this get any clearer? Hello? Anyone misunderstand this in English? We have some Spanish speakers, so they understand English. They're bilingual. Anyone who doesn't? This is the will of God. What does he say? Your sanctification, your cleansing, your holiness, your separation from the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the will of God. That's what he wants. And that you abstain from sexual immorality. Well, I'd say you can't even touch that hot button issue today. Don't tell me what to do. I can do anything. And this is a 12-year-old telling you this. I can do anything I want, anytime, any place, anywhere. It's what I want to do. Oh, what a mess we are getting into. You see, God says abstain from sexual immorality. That's sexual thoughts, even. Get them out of the way. Especially if you're single, you need to practice fidelity. You need to practice that sexual purity. And if you're married, all the more so, because you've already made a contract with God, as well as your mate. I mean, so he brings up big things like this, because it covers so many little things. This is the will of God, your cleansing, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Wow, they addressed it back then? This is written back, you know, in the year 40? You know, I mean, wow, this is 2013. Wow. Almost 2,000 years ago, the things were written. And he addressed sexual immorality then? Well, that tells me something. Adam nature's been busy a long time and is very strong. Verse 4. And that, this is the will of God now. This is what God wants now. Now, this is not all inclusive. I mean, this God's giving us a sample portion here. Verse 4, that each of you know, not the church, not the doctrine, not something up here floating in the air, but that each of you know, whoa! See, this is why it's off of my shoulder and Pastor Mark's shoulders. It's not on your husband's shoulders or your wife's shoulders. It's not on anyone's shoulders but you. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in this sanctification and honor. Wow. If you're sanctified, you're going to be very honoring, honoring of others. God's understanding is going to come forth. God's unconditional love, like a cry from one of our young ones this morning in prayer time before the service. Weeping before the Lord. God, I want your unconditional love in my heart because we are surrounded by unlovable people, folks. Your Adam nature can't love them. You're only going to love the lovable. You're only going to love the ones that treat you nicely and kindly. That's not the point. It's loving the unlovable. That's the unconditional love of God. Going that extra step with them. Now, you can't just be loving them and be unwise. I mean, if they're ripping you off, you got to draw the lines. You know what I'm saying? You got to have God's wisdom in there with his love. But that each of you know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor. And in verse 5, he clarifies it. Not in lustful passion to do all this, bro, Adam nature. Not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who don't know God. Verse 6. So he's clarifying that. I'm telling you to love people. I'm telling you to go after people and make yourself, hold yourself, possess your own body in sanctification and honor. Not in that lustful passion. And in verse 6, and, boy, it's big, that no man transgress and defraud his brother. Hello, Congress of every state and all of our nation. That no man transgress and defraud his brother. Can you imagine if our presidents and everyone in all the cabinets and everyone who's the head and the workers in every single department of every single facet of our nation and every single state and city and county did not transgress and defraud his brother? Well, would we actually be living in a different country? Oh, yes. We can see how different this would be if it wasn't done, which is why God said do it. But he gives you the caveat. Your Adam nature can't. You're going to get frustrated and give up on me. You've got to get my nature inside. The only way to do it. And it says, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. He's got the final say. You are going to stand before him, whether you believed in him or not. You are going to stand before him, as Pastor Mark so ineloquently, if that's a word, says. There's going to be a mile-long line of diarrhea up to the throne of grace. Oh, no! Mm-hmm. God has spoken to you even if you're not in church. He's spoken to you through your grandmothers and through your parents and through Sunday school teachers, if you even had them. He spoke to you through neighbors and the postman. He's spoken to you through teachers. He has told you of his existence. He has told you of Jesus Christ. I don't care who's listening to this on the web. You have heard that there is one God and his son is Jesus Christ and you got to get to heaven through him. You can take it or you can leave it. That great God said that's up to you. But you will face him. Again, truth. Not my belief system. You will face him, and you're going to need to find that out. And it's too late when you face him there. You've got to face him here. Face him here for salvation so you won't have to face him there for judgment. In verse 7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but for sanctification, which is a separation from the world, the flesh and the devil. But we struggle so much to obey these principles. What can we possibly do? Well, that God nature is the good nature. That's what we need to understand and walk away with today. We can't do what God asks us to do because of the Adam nature. But we can do everything in Christ Jesus. The key is allowing that God nature to enter in first, and then to abide, to live, to rule in your heart so that his flow, his spirit, is directing every thought, word, and deed. It seems so lofty, but it's possible because God said it is. So don't get discouraged when you have an Adam nature moment. And if you're in the middle of a fight with someone, it's, oh, excuse me, I'm having an Adam nature moment. Let me back off. No, let me back off. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, person I'm arguing with. I want to have God's cleansing right now. I'm talking stupid. I'm feeling stupid. I'm doing stupid. I don't want to be stupid. You can't fix stupid. That's really true. That's why God says, have my nature, and then it won't be stupid anymore. Every thought, word, and deed can be changed. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, turn over one more chapter there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or one more back a book. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 21. Verse 17 says, I'm not discouraged now. I get discouraged sometimes when I read the other stuff. I'm not discouraged. Therefore, if any man, anyone, he doesn't care who you are. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. He doesn't put a period there. But behold what? The new things have come. You can count on new thoughts, new deeds, new ideas, new words, new feelings. You can count on it coming in with the Lord. And in verse 21, take a look at that. This is our answer. Before Adam disobeyed, God already had a plan because he knew Adam would be weak and would disobey. He didn't make him weak, he made him strong, but he gave him that ticky, ticky, ticky thing called free will. And he said, he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not in good deeds, although there should be plenty of good deeds because of the God nature. You're going to have righteousness of God in Jesus, not because you attend church, although that's something you should do because he said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. All of these things, you're going to have righteousness of God in him, not in things. And the Spirit of God, that is the answer. God does some things for us, and there's three things we're going to finish up with this. The Spirit of God in you is going to be a restraining spirit. First, on your behalf, is going to help you to come against the things that are of the lesser nature. And then, so importantly, for those that turn to the Lord, he prevents, and I know this for sure, Satan from killing you before God can save you. I was in a war zone flying all over the place when I was in the military. And I didn't die before I knew it, and I am so grateful. I mean, I weep sometimes thinking of that. God, your mercy was on me. You saw I was willing, but you saw I just was stupid. I was ignorant. I didn't know. And plus, half the time I was being rebellious. I was just responding to the moment, knee-jerk reactions. And I thank that great God that he didn't let me die in that because I'd have been in hell. He did control it for me to live. And there's many of these young people that die, oh, how God's on. So many of them already know him. He's there with them. Let God deal. It's the sick that need the physician. Let God deal with that. May we be instruments of that. God, the Spirit of God is convicting. He's the one who convicts you of your sin. Not the rules listed in church. Not your mama said. If it's the truth of God, that's the conviction of God. So you don't have to worry about that list. God's going to come with that. Everything he wants you to do. And he's also regenerating. When you repent, you get a new nature. It doesn't disappear or dissolve the Adam nature. That is always going to be there. Because guess what? You're always going to have a choice. So there you die. Now, when you choose for Jesus, great. That's wonderful. You enter into that salvation. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then you're going to have the struggle of the ages. But God said the battle is not yours. He said it was his. So you go back to him for everything you need. Whether it's supplies. Whether it's ingenious ways to fight against the enemy. Whatever it is, you go back to him. Because it's not your battle. You do have a choice. You continue to use the lesser and get lesser results from that, or you can give yourself over to the Lord and actually have that wonderful and holy nature to come in. And we're going to end with 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Boy, this makes my heart feel so much better. I'm struggling. Other people are struggling, but God loves us. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Let the nature of God rule. It is the only good nature. God bless you.